time. Eugene Orr, you're not ready to start up today. Don't be perfect.
It is a Monday, as we're still getting things set up here. It's been a while. Joe Ray is working to get herself called in. We have a little bit of technical difficulty, so give us a call, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to talk with her. You can also send an email, talk@caribbeanradio.net. So while we're waiting for Joe Ray to chime in here, there she is, I believe. Joe Ray, are you on the line?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. So welcome to the show.
Oh, good. Oh, thank you. Great to be here, Robin.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on again. Of course, as you got to experience firsthand of live radio when things just don't go right at the get-go.
Yep. Well, that's life. Sometimes things don't go right.
That's
and
true.
You just can't.
So you are, you want to tell us a little bit about what you've been doing since the last time you were running for office and what's going on?
Well, I've been gearing up for this next election, and currently I am working full-time at Oregon State University. I've been there for almost a year, was hired on as a temp, and they offered me a full-time job, and so I took them up on it, and so that's what I'm doing with my days, and at night I'm gearing up for this 2016 election.
Wow, very exciting. I bet you're biting at the bit, too, with everything going on in the country right now.
I'll tell you, it just seems like every day there's something new going on out there, and it's almost impossible, well, it is, to really keep up on top of everything that's going on, but I'm hearing enough of what's going on out there, and I listen to the radio throughout the day in my office, and so I'm staying pretty much on top of what's been happening, not only locally, but globally as well.
Yeah, with everything going on, especially like, you have some bullet points you wanted to talk about. Before we get into, do you want to kind of give your quick elevator pitch on how people can get a hold of you if they have any questions?
You bet. I will do that. So, because I missed a little bit about what you said at the very beginning. So I have filed with the Federal Elections Commission to run to displace and unseat the current incumbent in the U.S. House of Representatives here in Oregon in the 4th Congressional District. The current representative has been there now for 29 years, so he started in 1987, so by the time I displace him, it will have been a full 30 years, and so I am running on the conservative view that we need to have people that are not career politicians, and I am a constitutionalist. I am running on the Republican ticket, so I think that we have, according to the Constitution, a job to do, and it's outlined, and that's what we should be doing, and nothing more and nothing less. So that's a little bit about my views on running. I'm running because I know that it's something I'm supposed to do personally. This is not something that everybody should do. It's not for everybody. And a lot of people go, well, I don't want anything to do with politics. Well, the problem is politics has everything to do with you. There's nothing, absolutely nothing in our lives that is not affected by some political vote somewhere by someone. So we need to be engaged, and I know how easy it is to become apathetic, and I understand people say my vote doesn't count. Your vote counts a lot. So every vote makes a difference. If we could just get the conservatives, the social and fiscal conservatives, to please start voting again, help a candidate that you align with get elected, we can start to make the changes that we need to make here in this country. So So that's just a little bit about me. Oh, and my background's financial planning. I used to be a financial planner. I literally walked away from that career because I knew that I was going into the political arena, went back to college, got my degree in political science, of all crazy things. So I come with a view of it's not the government's money. It's the people's money, and it's time that people that are elected start looking at it as, oh, it's not my money, it's your money, and we need to be taking good care of that money and using those resources properly.
Oh, absolutely, and I totally agree with you when you say that it's so easy that because you hear, well, it's the federal money. Where do you think the federal money comes from? And I think you'll agree, too, that in 2016 is more important to get out there and vote, because for the first time, in my opinion, I mean, it's easy to say that my vote doesn't count or doesn't mean anything, but when you think about not getting involved, I mean, it's easy before to just say, okay, the federal government does what it's going to do and it doesn't affect me. Well, thanks to Obama and Obamacare, I think it's going to affect everybody hard in 2016.
Oh, absolutely. The penalties kick in if you don't have health insurance. Some people, they're going, I can't afford the health insurance, and they don't want to be on the state plan, which I totally understand. Or maybe they make too much for the state plan, but they can't, their employer doesn't have a plan, or their hours have been cut back. There was a business, and I believe I brought this up a couple years ago, And I haven't been in there to find out if they have changed their hours, but I do know that an auto parts store cut all their employees back to 29 hours a week, because underneath the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, any business that had more than 50 employees had to pay for health insurance for all their employees that worked 30 or more hours a week. So they said, fine, we'll cut these folks all back to 29 hours. Well, imagine losing 11 hours a week. Well, just at $10 an hour, that's $110 a week. That's over $440 a month. That's a lot of money. That can make such a huge difference in people's lives. So now where are these people going to go? The law says they have to have health insurance. They just lost their income by a minimum of $440 a month. Well, there's places out there. I do not work for this company, but I've done my research, and I would recommend Christian Healthcare Ministries. chministries.org. It's not insurance. It's a co-op. It's sharing. It's putting your money into a pool, and they've been around a really long time, and they, I think, have the best plan out of all of them out there. So for those of you that don't have any health insurance, you can go into one of those cost-sharing programs, and they do meet the ACA Act. So, but these...
What was that website one more time?
chministries.org, and I'm going to just double-check that just to make sure that I am right. Ministries. Yeah, that is it. So chministries.org.
Good to know. Yeah, and something that a lot of people don't realize as well until you get hit with it is that if you lose your job, per se, I know this from experience because I've had this happen this year. If you don't have health insurance for over 2 months, you are now subject for the Obamacare penalties. It's taking your gross income, you know, the formula, I think it's 2% or $2,000, whichever is greater, divided by 12 times how many months you don't have it.
Mm.
So while you're in survival mode, Now you're going to have to come up with money for the penalties, and if you don't pay, if you don't get into Obamacare at all, there's been some people that's already posted where they've already had a $2,000 penalty for not having insurance, as they call it, not contributing to the health care plan.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's looking at the numbers, it's $325 per adult. It won't go over $975 for a family in 2015, or 2%
right.
of your household income above tax filing threshold of your filing status, whichever is greater. So, yes, so if you make good money, you could very easily have a very large penalty, and people have done their projections out there. So it adds up. 2016, it goes to 2.5%. So the first year it was 1%, then 2%, then 2.5% of yearly household income. So it adds up, and we need to not repeal and replace. We need to repeal the Affordable Care Act and get it back to the private market. So it has just skyrocketed so much. Part of what people don't realize in the Affordable Care Act is doctors are fined if they there's a list of medications, of drugs that they prescribe, and if they are over-prescribing one of the drugs on the list, the doctors are fined. So let's just say that drug A, the doctor can prescribe it to 50 people. What happens if you're the 51st person?
Yes. Or
What's the doctor supposed to do?
If you're discharged from the hospital, and go back within 30 days, I think they can get in trouble too.
Yeah. So the whole thing is just not good. It's a bad plan. It was not designed to improve your health care. Did the health insurance industry need to be fixed? Yes. Did it need to be replaced? No. When Senator Wyden was here in Oregon, in Albany, several years ago, and so this would have been 2009, I asked the question. I said, if you went to your mechanic and he said you needed a tune-up, would you say, no, just replace the whole engine? Well, you just need a tune-up. Why would you replace the entire engine?
Right.
You know, that's analogous to our health insurance programs that we had. They weren't the best. They needed a tune-up, but they didn't need to be completely replaced. So clearly the Affordable Care Act, the person I hope to go up against starting in May after the primary on May 17th, he voted in favor of the Affordable Care Act, and when he was out doing the ACA tour back in 2009, 2010, he was saying, oh, I don't know how I'm going to vote for it yet. Well, he knew full well that he would vote straight Democrat ticket, and so he did. And now we're all paying for it. And so speaking of his voting, I've looked at a couple of websites, FreedomWorks and Heritage Foundation. FreedomWorks gives him a 20% out of a possible 100 on how he votes in the key areas that they feel are good for the country. And Heritage has given him a whopping 10%. The House Democrat average is 14%. His lifetime is 16, but it's very poor, 10%, which just means that, you know, 10-20%, he's given away, voting away your freedom, my freedom, and vote for more taxes and more government control and more government spending.
Which brings up a question, how do you feel about term limits?
If you would have asked me this question 2.5 years ago, I would have been against term limits because we have term limits. It's called vote them out. The problem is people don't vote them out. So we need term limits. Our founders, when they came up with the terms for the House of 2 years, 6 years for the Senate, and 4 years for the president, in their minds, people would term themselves out. They wouldn't keep running and running and running. Because back then they said you serve your country for a short season and then you go back to your communities, back to your families, back to your businesses. If you want to be involved locally, be involved locally. So that there was always fresh blood, fresh ideas, and you didn't end up with this mentality that we have now where people that have been there for so long, one, that they lose touch with the real world. They get stuck in the district, in the Beltway, in D.C. They get wined and dined by the lobbyists, the businesses, the people that give them the most money. They start voting those ways. They vote against their values. They get to the point where they think, well, I have to keep running. I have to stay here because nobody can do as good of a job as I can. And so they keep running. And unfortunately, we have people who keep voting for them because they're uninformed or it's name familiarity. Some people go, well, I know what I'm going to get with this person. I don't know what I'm going to get with the new person. Well, sometimes in life you have to take a chance. Well, you know, when we, for those of us that are married, when we met the person that we married, we didn't know what we were getting, and sometimes it turns out really great, and sometimes, not so good. Some people trade them in for a new one. So, you know, there's no guarantees in life. And but I'm a big proponent now of term limits. We need them. We've got to clean house in Washington, D.C. It is clear. And this is why people like, I will not name names, but two of the people running on the GOP ticket, they're outsiders, and everybody knows who I'm talking about. They're not part of the political insider. Two of the other people running are, well, I should say three of the people, I'm sorry, that are political outsiders. Two of the candidates are U.S. senators right now. They have gone, for the most part, against the status quo. They have said this is not right, and they're very conservative. And, of course, those are the people that the establishment does not want to see in Washington, D.C., get them out of here, because they will upset their balance of power. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need, is an upset of the balance of power, so that we get people in there that have common sense, that have been down here as Main Street Americans working and trying to make ends meet, and we know what it's like out there. We know that when a gallon of gas goes up over $3 a gallon, how hard it hits.
Exactly. We need to remind them of that, get them out of their little cushy thing and back to reality, which gets back to the same thing about, nationwide news. You know, we're importing more people. And I want to get your take real quick in the 10 minutes that we have. By the way, you can give us a call right now, 646-721-9887. If you're listening to the archives, you can send Joe Ray an email. She'll tell you in just a moment how to do that. Or you can send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.net, and we'll forward it on to Joe Ray. Joe Ray, you want to give out your email real quick, and I'll give you an opportunity at the end of the show, too.
Yes. You can email joeray@perkins4oregon.com, J-O-R-A-E. Or you can email perkins4oregon@gmail.com. So there's a couple different ways, and you can also go onto my Facebook page, Perkins for Oregon, and put a message there on my campaign page. I'll see it either way, but preferably on the campaign page. So Perkins for Oregon, you can find me. So you had a question. I know I've got a couple questions that were emailed to me. So what's your question, Robin?
Okay, real quick, with what's going on over in Paris and what happened up in Roseburg, your quick feeling on gun control.
There's a saying that to have good gun control, use both hands.
And know which end you're pointing. Okay.
Yeah. So if we take a look at what happened in Germany, they took away all the guns and millions of Jews were murdered. We take a look at what happened in France. Illegal carry. You know, you're not allowed to carry. And we have, at least so far, 129 people have lost their lives, hundreds wounded, lives destroyed and changed forever. Chicago, murder capital. Washington, D.C. was the murder capital until the courts overturned the outlawing of gun ownership. Not being able to carry on campuses, craziness. It's interesting because a couple of the schools that I have looked at, their guidelines on carrying okay for students, and this is at some campus, Lynn Benton Community College here in Albany, is a concealed carry allowed for students but not staff and faculty. By the way, staff are people who are not teachers. Faculty are considered or teachers and administrators, just for those people that don't know. So when you hear them talk about staff and faculty. So the young, we'll say the younger age people, they don't want them to have, it's okay if they have a gun, but the older, more mature people don't have a gun. I think it's crazy. The Constitution, Second Amendment, gives us the right to carry. Whether we open carry, conceal carry, is irrelevant. It says we have the right to bear arms. We have the right to protect ourselves, to protect our persons. And there are we know factually that there's so many lives that would be saved if people felt that they could comfortably exercise their right to carry a gun. I work in a university. There's times when I'm concerned. There's a time when I was concerned as a student there just in 2011 with a student that we were concerned would go crazy. And the professor, she was concerned for her. She would not be in the classroom alone with them. She was concerned, and I talked with other students. They were concerned. So, we need to allow law-abiding citizens the right to carry arms. Paris can do what France, it's their own, it's their country, their sovereign nation. They need to make decisions that are going to be best for their nation. But in this country, our Constitution gives us the right to bear arms, and I think that we should be able to do that. Robin, I want to get to a couple questions that were sent to me. The question is Russia friend or foe? The answer is yes. They're both. they're friends when they want to be friends. They're foes when they want to be foes. I do not trust Russia. I believe that Putin is a brilliant man. He's KGB. We know he's KGB. He says he's KGB. That's his mindset. It's different than what most of us can understand. We need to close eye on them. It's clear that Putin and Obama do not get along. And Russia is going to do, Putin's going to do what he needs to do to further the cause for his country. And quite frankly, whether I agree with what he does or doesn't do, he should. I do disagree 100% with him going into Ukraine and wanting to go back into the other countries. So the person states they're concerned about super weapons, cooperating with China. I think that's a very real thing that will happen. They're busy building up a very large force. The other question, and let me pull that one up here. Oh, it was a tax question. The IRS says there's now $500 billion in uncollected federal tax revenue per year. Nobody seems to really care that much to tackle this. We want a different tax system. That's fine. But for now, shouldn't this cheating in the underground economy be addressed? Why do conservatives blow it off? I don't know why conservatives, quote unquote, blow it off. I can't speak for other people. IRS has gotten again too big. The federal government has given these agencies the power to do things that is totally unconstitutional. If our tax, if you take a look at the tax burden that we have, and then you pile the Affordable Care Act on top of that, then let's pile on some cigarette tax and some alcohol tax and some gasoline tax. The list goes on and on and on. So what are we going to do about $500 billion in uncollected federal tax revenue per year? I don't know. I don't want to see people's bank accounts being garnished and their wages being garnished, but the IRS needs to come up with a way to make it easier for people to pay back and get rid of all the penalties, get rid of all the interest. so that people can start paying these bills back. Because part of that, that it gets so big that people can't afford it. And so they just go along. And eventually the IRS will put federal tax liens on real estate. So if a person who owns money owes money to IRS, they'll just put a federal tax lien on their real estate. And when that property gets sold, the IRS will get their money. Or they'll start garnishing bank accounts.
It seems the same because a lot of people are in survival mode. And, you know, it's food or pay taxes. You know, it's what you're more concerned about.
That's the thing. And so then that causes another problem, because even if their wages are garnished and they're in this survival mode, but they're above the line to get temporary assistance in the way of food stamps, which sometimes people need the help. They can't get them because they're above the line and it doesn't matter. So there needs to be a way to put forth a plan so that people can start paying back this tax revenue. As far as the underground economy, the simple solution is this. And I know people in Oregon are going to cringe when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm a believer in the quote-unquote fair tax. What does that mean? It's a federal sales tax. It needs to be a constitutional amendment with a limit that has to be constitutional. I would say 5%. Some people say 2% on the GDP is more than enough. So if we max it out at 5%, nothing comes off of your paycheck. You get 100% of your paycheck. You decide how much you're going to pay in taxes by your consumption. I would not tax food. You need food to survive. But if you go buy a new widget, you pay 5% on the widget. You go buy a new cell phone, 5%. You buy a car, 5%. There would be more than enough money. And again, people decide how much they're going to pay in taxes based on their buying habits.
So you get rid of the tax.
I get rid of the federal income tax. Each state has to decide what they want to do. Oregonians have said no to a sales tax because they cannot also simultaneously, because of a law that was passed, vote to get rid of the income tax. So it needs to be an either or, not both. But again, what Oregon at the state level does is the state issue. Because of the 10th Amendment, it's state power, state rights to do what they want to do. But at the federal level, the founder said it is unjust to tax a man on his labor.
Right.
And so when we penalize people,
if I can throw something on top of that, is that right now, under the current system, the government gets your money before you do. And if you follow through, like get rid of the federal tax, it puts the government more in touch with the average person because you get your money before they do.
Right. And so I had one person a couple years ago say to me, he goes, well, I don't want to be the tax collector for the government by having to collect taxes, you know, sales tax. I'm trying to explain to him, you already are. You're already having to withhold from their bank, from their paycheck, the federal income tax. You're already having to withhold from their paycheck 6.2% for Social Security plus your 6.2% as the employer that you give for their Social Security. You're already withholding for their Medicare. So you're already doing it. There's really no difference. Other than it's going to be less money. Well, in fact, it's going to be better for the employer because guess what? The employer just gets to write the check. Here you go.
Here you go.
This is how we're going to fund it. Social Security, we don't have time to go into that today. Whole nother topic would take an hour at least just to talk about Social Security. But it needs to be, it's broke, and it needs to be completely, eventually needs to be gone away with. But and I'm not talking about today, and I'm not talking about the people that are going to be retiring in the next 10 years, but we need to do something, and we can discuss that in a couple weeks when I'm back on in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. You'll be back on November 30th, right here at 7 p.m., and again, if you have questions, I invite you to either send an email to the station here, talk@caribbeanradio.net, or Joe Ray, Go ahead and give me your address.
At Perkins, P-E-R-K-I-N-S, the number 4, Oregon, at gmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter with that same handle, Perkins, the number 4, Oregon, and that's why we're using it, is because my Twitter handle, that's all the longer I can get it. And my web address is Perkins4Oregon.com. And so you can find me in a number of ways, Perkins for Oregon on Facebook. Reach out to me. Let me know what is on your mind, what you're concerned about. That's why I'm going to Washington, D.C., is for those people who are, what are they concerned about? I know what is a big deal to me, but there's things that other people are really concerned about. And the next time, Robin, let's talk about the veterans issues. That's huge. I want to close with this, that my heart and my prayers go out to all the people in France and around this country, the family down in Southern California, they lost their daughter. So prayers to all of them that have been affected by that tragedy.
Absolutely. Definitely agree, and hope the best. So again, thank you so much, Joe Wright. And remember, there's not many candidates out there that will allow this type of forum that you can ask questions. She'll be back again November 30th, 7 p.m., and we hope to see you there.
All right. Thanks, Robin. Good night.